I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Secondhand Lions. This is Bill Radford here with my good friend, longtime friend, John Drennan, and we are following the Detroit Lions season this year. Hopefully, it's on the way to the Super Bowl. Got some work to do, though, so we're here to talk about the game on Thursday against the Cowboys and look forward to the game on Sunday against the Rams. John, I was watching earlier today a couple of the so-called expert football shows. Well, they're sports shows, but they're majoring on football this time of year. And one of them was First Take, and they were talking about the three teams that are sort of on the bubble that might or might not make it in the playoffs. And the three teams are the Chicago Bears, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Detroit Lions. And according to the panel, they all believe the Lions are going to make it. And the toss-up is between the Bears and the 49ers. 11-6, they think some team is going to go 11-6 and get left out. If the Lions can fix that by winning the game against the Rams and winning out and going 12-5 and leaving no doubt, and if they do that, they might even win the division and get a home game. It's interesting this time of year with all the moving pieces. You just have to wait to see them play. As they say, the games are not played on paper. You and I were discussing beforehand, if statistically the Lions are one of the top five teams in the league, but they're 8-5. I think they've lost three games they could have won, but that's how it goes some years. They have a tough schedule remaining, but they're good enough to beat all those teams.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. And it is that time of year. It is really interesting, isn't it? And especially this year with so many teams. I mean, you look at the Chiefs, they don't have a winning record right now. Neither do the Ravens. And this is really an interesting year this year. You know, you and I took this journey. We started this year right before the Hall of Fame game in the summer doing these podcasts. And we invited people to take this journey to the Super Bowl with us. Of course, we didn't know what it would be this year, next year. We just are positive that the Lions are headed toward a Super Bowl. But you and I, neither one of us thought we'd be looking at 8-5 and seeing sort of the ups and downs we have seen. But, you know, that's the NFL. So these next few weeks are going to be really, really interesting. And, you know, you mentioned the First Take and the fact that those announcers put the Lions ahead of the 49ers and who was it, the Cowboys?
The Bears.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And that reminded me, prior to the Cowboys game, the broadcast team that I was watching, I believe 1 out of 5 picked the Lions and 4 picked the Cowboys. And part that mentality is, well, what'd you do for me lately? But I think the guys who you talked about really respect what the Lions have done the last couple of years and see them as a team that could be in the Super Bowl. And I think the people that fell in love here with the Cowboys saw that they beat last year's Super Bowl winner and the prior year Super Bowl winner, both teams that were in the Super Bowl last year, Eagles and Chiefs. Cowboys had beat them back to back after beating the Raiders. So I get that they were high on the Cowboys, but boy, didn't the Lions come out and play inspired at Ford Field to win that one 44-30.
Yeah, they. I'm convinced that if the Lions are on it offensively, and we've lamented the fact that there was a stretch of games there that they just looked like they weren't. If when they're on it offensively, I really don't think they're stoppable. They can run it with anybody, maybe better than anybody. They pass as well as anybody. They make big plays out of small plays. They were talking about the announcers in the last game. They were discussing how Goff hasn't really thrown the ball down the field that much, and yet they have a lot of explosive plays. So they're catching the ball 10, 12 yards down the field and turning them into 30 and 40 yard gains. Gibbs is catching 5 yard dump offs and turning them into 25 yard plays. So when he's throwing like that, Goff is just so accurate. He's pitching at about an 80% clip. And that's probably what might be the Bears' demise is you see Caleb Williams, who's looks like he has a world of talent, but he's not accurate. He's 58% right now, which, I remember back when I first started paying attention to football way back in the 60s. If a quarterback had a percentage of over 50%, it was considered good.
Yeah,
Now
you're right about that.
you got to be in the high 60s at least.
You're right. Well, the game has changed, and you're right about that. And I think, and we'll be talking about the Rams, but you're there talking about how precise Goff is when he's got time. And Stafford's the same way. Those guys are not mobile, but they're seasoned, they're smart, they see the defense. They're great when they have protection. So a lot of this game's going to come down to who brings the most pressure. And you mentioned Caleb Williams. He's in his second year, so he's like a middle schooler compared to varsity high school players when it comes to his experience of just seeing the game, knowing the game, that kind of thing. Athletically, right now he's ahead of both those guys in pure athleticism. But again, that's not what wins games. Bill.
It's like Steve Young says, there are no old running quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Bill, I'm looking here at the Cowboys game. Listen to this. And I know I did this last week, but I'm always so intrigued by this. There were 825 yards of offense. Cowboys had 417, Lions had 408, so about equal. Cowboys had 326 in passing, Lions 299, pretty equal. Rushing, Cowboys 91, Lions 109. Yards per play, this is pretty big. Lions were 7.2, Cowboys 5.5. First downs, Cowboys had five more. They had 25, Lions had, I'm sorry, my phone's acting up here. Lions had 20. Third down efficiency, Cowboys 6 of 15, Lions 3 of 18, which translates to 6 of 16.
Three
The
of eight, you
stats,
mean?
what's that?
You said 3 of 18.
Let me say that again. Cowboys were 6 of 15, Lions 3 of 8. That translates to 6 of 16.
Right.
And the stats I wanted to get to, and I couldn't read them because how my phone. Okay, well, maybe I can remember them. Yes, takeaways. Lions had 3, Cowboys had 0. And sacks. Lions had 5. Oh, it feels good to say that. Cowboys had 1. So those are mega stats right there, those last two. And, time of possession definitely favored the Cowboys, but those two stats made a big difference.
And I think you mentioned before we came on that the Lions turned those turnovers into two touchdowns.
That's right. And interesting about that, the first one I want to comment on was when Campbell punched out the ball from Ferguson and the Lions got it somewhere around the 30, give or take. They recovered it. And it was a couple plays later that David Montgomery ran 35 yards and scored. That was the play where the announcers were just drooling over the block that Penei Sewell made that
Right.
gave that crease. And then that was the play where the defender grabbed DM's jersey But that wasn't enough. He just kept running and made it in the end zone. That was the first one where they got a TD after a takeaway. Second one was at the very start of the third quarter when, on like the first or second play, Barnes intercepted down near the 20. And 2 plays later, touchdown to Tesla. And you know, Bill, this year the Lions haven't been great on getting points, especially TDs after turnovers, but those two were awesome.
Yeah, it flips the game. I know that the announcers kept talking about how the Cowboys get the ball to start the second half. The Cowboys get, they were almost drooling over the fact that the Cowboys could get the ball, score a touchdown, and make the game close. And then before they had a chance to finish off their halftime hot dogs, the Lions had the ball and were in the end zone.
Yeah, I love that. I don't know about you, but to me, oftentimes it feels like when the Lions are playing and get a lead like that, the announcers are overzealous about the other team coming back. That's
Oh,
probably
they're
often
trying to keep
true.
things interesting.
Yeah, and that's probably true when the Lions are down, but I've got biased hearing on that, so. Well,
Yeah,
so Bill.
I want to talk about Cologne. I watched the game again and on replay, and just watching him come around on a pulling guard, coming around the edge. It just looks like he's hunting. I mean, he's, you know, I don't know how big he is, but he's a large human being and he's running really fast and he's got malice on his face and he's just looking for somebody to obliterate. And he did it on a couple of those long runs from Gibbs, where he just was looking for somebody to crush. And you mentioned Sewell, that one play with Montgomery, he blocked two guys. He knocked off the first guy, then he turned around and sealed it off with the second guy. He's an amazing athlete.
Yeah, yes.
I'm so glad that they signed him to a long deal.
He was the first draft pick of Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell era.
And I'm sure, you know, when I was first watching football, I was more enthusiastic about the skill players. You know, if they drafted a lineman, defense or offense, I was thinking, oh, why'd you do that? You could have got that wide receiver. You could have got that running back. Now, I understand completely why the offensive line is number one, a defensive line is 1A, and that's how you build your team from the inside out. And that's what the Lions have done.
Yeah, that first draft, I believe their first three picks were line Penei Sewell, and then Alim McNeil, third pick, and number two was Levi Onwuzurike, or I'm not saying that right, Levi who's hurt, but I think that was their first three picks.
Yeah,
And they
it's
were giddy that the Cincinnati took Ja'Marr Chase so they could get Penei Sewell.
right. And then all the experts talked about how the Lions reached for Sewell or for Gibbs. Well, we did get some bad news in this game. Brian Branch ruptured his Achilles. He's out for the season, probably be out for most of next season. Which brings me to wonder about Kirby Joseph. Have we heard anything on his availability?
I keep hearing the same thing. I'm not sure. My reading between the lines is he's not going to be ready, and he may have an issue that He may not be back this year. This is just John Drennan gut, based on the things I hear, that are not that there just seems to be chatter, but nothing very optimistic. But maybe he will play this week. Hopefully, by the playoffs, assuming we get in the playoffs or sooner. In the meantime, they did sign a 10-year veteran who, he's. That means he can come in and play. He's a 10-year veteran. In 2018, he led the league in interceptions. He's a hard hitter. His name is, what is his name? Demonte Kazee or Kazee. So he will have been in the locker room for a week, but he's a veteran who can come play safety. The guy I'm concerned about at this point is their safety that got the concussion. I believe Harper. He's played
Yeah,
well
he
as
didn't look
safety.
good.
Hey,
He did
Bill,
not
just a
look good.
couple of comments from the Cowboys game. Just their tight end Ferguson, he had some really good plays, but he's the one that had the ball punched out. And you could kind of see when they were going off the field, Dak Prescott showing him, hold it high and tight, which is something you've talked about repeatedly. And it looked like that's what he was showing him. Man, you got to tuck the ball. Well, then on the very next series was Ferguson had the penalty that offset the penalty that would have put the Cowboys on the 2-yard line. I don't know if you
Yeah.
remember that. And that was like a 60-yard play. Looked like Cowboys will get it at the 2 and go score instead, offsetting penalties. And I forget what happened after that. They might have driven to a field goal, but boy, back to back tough ones for Ferguson. And then Bill, that field goal at the end of the second quarter was a big deal. Cowboys kicked one and then we got the ball back with under a minute. I went back and rewatched that. St. Brown caught a pass for about 5 yards. Gibbs then went for, I think it was 15 or so. And then St. Brown went for another 6 or 7. Then St. Brown got a penalty. The guy guarded St. Brown, so they picked up another 10 or 12 and a first down. Ended up kicking that field goal that gave them another 3 point right at the beginning of the half. I thought that was great.
Yeah, they're fortunate to have a good field goal kicker, but they were just so precise and methodical and not in a hurry, even though they only had 48 seconds.
Yep.
They got down the field, got in field goal range, and he made it.
And that's why, and you and I talked earlier again about just how precise and good they are when Goff has time. And that's what that was. And that's why I think this game against the Rams, it's going to be fascinating with these two quarterbacks and who gets the most time or not. Bill, Gibbs had another great game. He gets great plays on the passing game. I think he had 70 yards in the passing game. But David Montgomery, 6 carries for 60 yards, including that key TD of 35 yards. And it was great to see how both those guys contributed in such a big way. And then Jamo and St. Brown, Bill, both had over 90 yards receiving. And so many of those to both of them were such big plays, and that balance, I love that. Remember 5, 6 games ago, Jamo was like nowhere to be found.
That was before Dan Campbell took over the play calling.
Exactly, and my constant mantra, especially when Saint went down for a game, was just get Jamo the ball, get him the ball. Have him wildcat, hand it to him, toss it to him, pitch it to him, get him the ball. They've been doing.
Yeah, and the thing about him is he's not easy to bring down either.
That's why. Get him the ball.
Right.
case.
He's so fast and he's just able to spin out or pull away when you've got to really wrap him up to get him down.
Yeah, you do.
But
You look at him and go, is he that strong? But I think it's a combination of explosive speed with strength. You know, he's very strong
and the
for
fact that
size.
because he's so fast and slippery, the guys that are trying to tackle him don't really have a good hold on him.
That's right.
But one of the most encouraging things to me was the first play on offense of the Lions. St. Brown was injured. He was coming back. People weren't really sure how he was going to be. He tried the ankle that earlier in the day and decided that he could play. But they weren't sure how he was going to be. First play from scrimmage, they threw it to him and he got a good gain. And it's like, all right, he's going to be all right. And I think that fired up the team.
Yeah, I think that sent a message to both teams. And I agree, that was great.
Well, maybe we should talk a little bit about the Rams, unless you have something else you want to talk about to this last game.
Well, I do have one more thing. I found myself I don't like this year how much it feels like the referees just insult the game. I know it's a really impossible task, but I thought the Jack Campbell safety, you know, they finally showed an angle where I thought, okay, the ball hadn't gotten to the goal line, but either way, I thought that's a safety. And they needed, because they called safety, they needed irreversible evidence. And I questioned that. And then later, you remember the play where the Cowboys went offsides? Jared Goff
Oh,
thought
yeah.
free play,
Oh, yeah.
and they didn't call it. And I don't think that was one they could go back and look at, but I just thought that was offsides. And it's irritating to see plays that to every viewer says that's a safety and that's offsides. And then they look at this micro view of it on video and say, well, no. So that's my beef from that game.
And I was right there with you on the safety, but I was actually thinking when they decided it wasn't a safety, this could work for the Lions. Because if it is a safety, they're going to punt it from the 20. The Lions are going to be back well inside their own side of the 50. And because they had to punt from the back of the end zone, I think the Lions ended up with the ball on the Dallas 40, and they pretty quickly took it in and scored.
You're right about the 40, and I didn't remember what they did with it. So if they got a TD off that, your comment's well taken. I would have liked those two extra points. And generally on that punt, you can end up with the ball in decent field position, but your point is well taken there.
44 to 30 is a pretty good butt kicking.
It is. So can we kick butts this weekend? Today, folks, is Tuesday. We're playing the Rams this coming Sunday in LA. So we know the weather's going to be fine in SoFi Stadium. It's a big one, Bill. Let's talk about
It
it.
is. Well, if they can manage to beat the Rams, that sets them up well to make the playoffs for sure and to possibly even win the division. This is the toughest of their four games that are left. They follow this with a home game against Pittsburgh, then they finish on the road against Minnesota, and they should be able to beat them indoors, and then they finish on the road against Chicago. And for the life of me, I can't figure out the NFL scheduling, why you would schedule the Detroit Lions to play the Chicago Bears in September indoors, and then play the Lions against the Bears in January outdoors in Chicago.
Yeah, I so agree with that.
I mean, you
That
flip those two.
yeah, that could be a blizzard that day. It could be awful.
It could be 0 degrees. It's whereas Chicago in September is usually pretty nice.
Yeah, I agree totally with that.
I just don't know how anybody with any sense looks at that schedule and says, maybe we should change those two.
Yeah, and I also, I liked at the start that Detroit opened with Green Bay because I thought, okay, let's make a statement and get a jump on the North. But no team is ready to go in that first game. I just think to play a division rival like that's probably not a great idea. But then for the Packers and Bears to play each other twice in 3 weeks, that seems kind of bizarre too, but
So if the
that's a
Lions do
lot.
beat the Rams, I think we're all set up to be in the playoffs at least. If they lose, they have to win the rest of them. They'll
I
have to
agree with
beat
that.
Pittsburgh, Minnesota, and Chicago. But it could come down to the last game of the year, and the winner is in and the loser is out.
Yeah, Lions Bears.
Right.
Again, in a potential blizzard. So anything
Exactly.
goes. Well, Bill, looking at
So,
the Rams, you and I were talking about how even these teams look. Real quick, I looked at team stats on offense, total yards in the NFL. Lions are third, Rams are fourth. Passing, Lions are fifth, Rams are third. Rushing, Lions are fifth, Rams are 11th. First downs, Lions are 14, Rams are second. Put that in the blender, and that's equal. Let's look at
yeah.
defense. In yards given up, Lions are 15th, Rams are 13th. Passing, Lions are 19th, Rams are 16th. Rushing, Lions are 10th, Rams are 11th. Turnovers, Lions are 6th best, Rams are 3rd best. Rams are plus 10, Lions are plus 8. Sacks, Lions are 5th, Rams are 6th. That's all fairly even. And then when you look at passing, Goff is 5th and Stafford 4th in the NFL. Gibbs is 5th in rushing. Kyren Williams is 8th. David Montgomery's 26th and Blake Corum's 29th. That's all pretty even. And then receiving. Do you remember early in the year we were talking about who's better, Nacua or Brown? St. Brown. And I think Nacua was picked third best in the NFL by the experts, and St. Brown was picked fifth. Well, right now, Nacua is second in the NFL, and St. Brown is fifth. So there you go.
Yeah.
And then Jamo's 19th, and Devontae Adams is 25th. And I wanted to go through all that because to me, you put all that together, and these are two teams, as I said, non-mobile quarterbacks, but amazing, well-seasoned, protect them. They're going to pick you apart. Both teams have great weapons. It's going to be something, I think.
The Lions are capable of beating anybody. If they bring their offensive best performance, I think they'll win. But it wouldn't be surprising if the Rams win, especially since they're at home. I think this is the first time since the Stafford trade that the Lions have played the Rams in LA. They played them twice, once in the playoffs and once in the regular season, in Detroit. And the Lions won both of those.
That's right. And you mentioned the trade in 2021. Brad Holmes came in, traded Matthew Stafford away. And what'd they get? Jared Goff, that year's third round pick, and the next 2 year first round picks. And I believe it was that first round pick from the Rams that allowed them to take Jahmyr Gibbs. Because the Rams didn't do that well after winning the Super Bowl, and Lions got the 12th pick there. Quite sure I'm
Well,
right about that.
I would take the Lions not doing well for a year if they win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. We could pack up our podcast and say mission completed. But
That's right. So, well, do you have a score? Let me write mine down here real quick.
well, I do, Bill, and I just went through all those stats. So this is a real tough one for me. So I wrote down, okay, what do the Rams have going for them? Well, maybe a revenge game. You mentioned earlier, Lions have beat them twice and took them out of the playoffs 2 years ago. The Rams are home. The Rams are loaded with offensive weapons. And the Rams have a really good D line, which could be problematic for the inconsistent Lions offensive line. But then I look at Detroit. Stafford's immobile. What's that mean? Well, we've done pretty well this year against mobile quarterbacks, but there's still an issue. The Lions' corners should be better. What I mean by that, especially DJ Reed's been hurt, and this will be what his third game back, and he was out for like 6 weeks, and it takes a minute to get back. So I think the corners could be up for this, and they really need to be, but it's kind of like last year against the Minnesota Vikings, game 18, when our cornerbacks just did so well. And anyhow, I think our corners will be better. I think, Bill, we've seen a couple games this year where the Lions defense was incredible at Baltimore. They sacked Lamar 7 times. And then against Tampa Bay with that patchwork defensive backs that were just shut down. I have a feeling these backup safeties are going to perform big time. Jared Goff is going back to LA where he's from, California, and I think he's got something to continue to prove to the Rams. The Lions have had 10 days to prep versus 7 for the Rams. And when I put all that in the blender, I still feel like Rams are going to win this game. But here's my score, 31-27. And I don't know who's going
You
win.
gotta pick somebody.
I know I have to. And it's so hard for me to say Rams for the reason. Well, it's so hard to say Rams, so I'm not going to. Lions 31, Rams 27.
All right. Well, I picked against the Lions once this year, and I'm not going to do it again.
That was the
So,
Ravens game, right?
that was the Ravens. That's before we knew that the Ravens weren't any good. I'm picking the Lions 38-35.
Oh, wow. Points on the board. I like
Yep.
that pick. I hope that's what we see.
Yeah, and I hope when the Rams get their touchdown to make it 35, there's no time left on the clock. So.
It could be a game where we don't pick a score. We just say last team with the ball wins.
Well, and this could be hoping more than anything. I think the Lions are capable of beating anybody in the league on any given day. So I'm picking them.
Well, I agree with that, and that's why I picked them. I just think this team's full of grit. I think they've signed a tight end to help. They've proven themselves so good at making the adjustments they have to for a big game. So, speaking of picks, Bill, last week I had picked the Lions 34-31 over the Cowboys 44-30, and you had picked 31-24. So we were both in the ballpark on that one. So I hope we get this one right.
Me too. It should be fun.
All right. Well, you have been listening to the Secondhand Lions, Bill Radford and I, John Drennan, and me, John Drennan, longtime Lions fans back in the day of black and white TV and Alex Karras and Joe Schmidt. And today, here we are, just wanting, wishing the Lions get into the Super Bowl. You can go to our website at S, I'm sorry, the SHL podcast.com. With that, Bill, go ahead and sign us off, buddy.
All right, here's to seeing the Lions pull one out in LA and Jared Goff proving once again that he should not have been traded. Of course, that remains to be seen, but we're hoping for a Lions victory. Bye, everyone.